Perhaps you could turn in your Bible to Deuteronomy and chapter 4. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer and our God and Father, we've opened thy word and God help us. Thank you very much. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen. In our study, as we did in Sunday school, on our nation and the tower and the nations plural, and why our nation came into being and why it's going where it's going. Now, in the light of that, that would help us. If you would, you'll remember without turning there, John, in Genesis chapter 2 and in verse 17, God told the Adam and Eve to not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that the day they ate thereof, they would die. In dying, literally, they will die. They'll die immediately in their relationship to God. They'll die physically, ultimately. And they had a wonderful, wonderful dependence, a wonderful, wonderful relationship to God. God was to be honored, and they would be cared for in a most wonderful way. All of the benefits of every tree in the garden, in every single kind of way, they would be blessed. But Adam and Eve sinned, Genesis 3 and 7. And Eve took, and then Adam took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they lost that awesome relationship of dependence, of a wonderful, wonderful, the Creator and the created, to have a relationship to God, dependence. They lost that. And in a moment, they became independent. And thus the problem of evil. Evil leaves us apart from God, separated from God. So we're on our own. So, in the light of that, you would recall, we had it in Sunday school, that here's the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States in this little book, the whole thing. Now, having said that, and you'll notice in the, as you read it, the Declaration of Independence. Why does it say independence? Because of their bondage to the system, to the King George, to England, and all of those things. And they were caught, and they were to be moved and motivated. And thus we shared, as we did in Sunday school, and that the conditions of Europe, the religious wars. What was it all about in Europe? Religion, in one form or another, tower and a city, as we shared. But not a God. They had the Bible, but didn't honor the Bible. Didn't honor the God of the Bible in the way that they should. So the great, great number of people that lived were in great confusion. They did not have the hope, the help that they needed. They had a system of bondage that they had to get rid of, had to get out of, so that they could read in God's word. And the pilgrims, as we shared, had that. They had already had the King James and 1611 and that. So when they came, they had the Bible. And they read the Bible. And they read the Bible about God's wonderful grace, their wonderful, wonderful God's liberty. He said it all, proclaim liberty. It's all about freedom. That's what they didn't have. Not freedom, not license, but freedom. Freedom to know God. And that was their motivation. Oh, there's some difference. People are different that came. But the great host of people that came in those days was for spiritual reasons. They were driven to seek God, the Quakers and all the different ones, seeking God. They wanted spiritual reality. They wanted to know God. They wanted to be able to have a dependence upon God in the way that He intended as their Creator and Savior. That's what they wanted. That's why this was written, the Declaration of Independence, so that they could be dependent. And this book is all about being dependent, that we might know Him, that we might have pursue these truths, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's what it's about. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, so remember, when you speak of dependence, you're telling you're being influenced and determined by something or someone else, to rely upon somebody else, to look to somebody else. Independence, on the other hand, goes the other way. So it's a freedom when we don't have any dependence. We don't have any need for anybody. We're independent. And we need to be dependent. But we become independent. So in the process, that's when growing up, little children grow up, and they're dependent on the parents, at least in a very real way, they're dependent. And so as they go and are dependent upon God, looking to God, then what can they do? Well, they grow and they get older and they pick up the influence of the system, and they want to be independent. They want to be able to do what they want and say no and go where they go and say what they want to say. And then what do they do? They're being independent from the parents. And hopefully they wake up to be dependent upon God, from the parents to God, to turn to God. But if they never turn to God, they turn from their parents and they're independent, but never get to God. Now, so in the process, we have the word in the New Testament, Old Testament, and in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament. And there is no independence. You won't find the word. You'll find it in our Constitution, but you won't find it in the Bible. There is no independence. Self-government isn't encouraged. God doesn't encourage self-government. That isn't what He's after. That isn't what He's doing. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and so we talk about on July 4th in 1776, how they wanted to go and they were going to enter in to that which they have been exercised, stirred, motivated. They're seeking liberty. That's their key word. That's the key word, liberty. They're looking, and the Great Awakening of 1740 with Wesley and Whitfield and all of that had they were very fresh. England was doing it its thing, and as we shared, and 30,000 troops out there with the British and in the harbor, and all of that was triggering. They've got to do something. And in the process, Patrick Henry in his address a little earlier in the Virginia Conference, he ended his address, his great address, "Give me liberty, and you know it, or give me death." That's how he ended it. Give me liberty, give me death. So the whole mood was ready to exercise a wonderful relationship to God. And that's what they were going to do. And they were set on doing it. That's how you got this declaration in the way it is written, in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, so therefore they refounded a republic, which we shared together. They did not found a democracy. And again, as we mentioned in Sunday school, democracy, there is no democracy in this book. There is no democracy in any, they don't use the word. They abhor the word democracy. Democracy. They don't do it. And it isn't in there, in the state constitutions. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, they're looking to form a republic. Republic, very, very special. They didn't want to be a nation. They didn't want to be part of the system with all the nations their towers and their cities, their religions and their politics. They did not want to do that. They wanted a republic where they could exercise a unique and wonderful relationship to God in the way that they could do it. That's what they wanted, a republic and not a democracy. Now, and the word democracy, remember, has to do with the people, A, and the verb to rule, the people rule, the government by the people, the rule by the ruled. They rule themselves. Democracy. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, so looking at that and keeping democracy in the, up in the front of your thinking, and they needed that. So they're looking to be dependent and not independent, and they were looking to God to do it. All the systems around them that they looked at and they studied them thoroughly when they came up with the Republic is the system of government with, the, as we shared, the kings, the queens, the pharaohs, the Caesars, the royalty, all the different systems are there. And they didn't want any of those systems. They wanted to have freedom to worship God. And so they founded the Republic for which we stand. We sing it, Pledge Allegiance to the Flag, and to the Republic for which we stand, one nation, under God, that's us, that's our country. Now, having said that, and keeping in mind, and we mentioned it in Sunday school, I mentioned that just again briefly, that Aristotle, he did not, back then in 384 BC, Aristotle and them understood that the main cause of all discontent among nations is democracy. That's the problem. Equal. Everyone wants to be self-governing. Everyone wants to govern themselves. They want to have their, think of judges. Everyone did that which is right, what? In his own eyes. That's what they did. They did what they want. That's what we want. And that was the problem. That's the key. Now, having said that, Aristotle knew that way back then. And he's the student of Plato, and Plato had the same thing. Plato's argument, the Republic, it is affirmed that the democracy wants. You want to have a republic, the end of it cannot be obtained if you go to a democracy. You cannot fulfill the wonderment of the people rule, electing and representatives. The representatives go to the government and they represent what? The people that are out there. That's what they did, representative government, etc. You cannot sustain a republic if you turn to a democracy. You cannot do that. Now, having said that, so here's the problem. If we want to go, we want it to go and be a democracy, to be a republic, I should say, and not a democracy. And in the process that, we're going to have problems. We're going to have eternal problems because of people and wanting to be governing themselves, etc., for many reasons. And you're going to have it in a worldwide way. So we have it today. One of the things that we're facing is the argument by many people in our country that we have no right to be so blessed. We have no right to be so privileged. We don't have a right to do that, and we're guilty, and we need to be put to shame. Deuteronomy chapter 4. I knew we had to come in that someplace. Deuteronomy 4. What was Israel's position? Israel was the nation among all nations, privileged among all nations. No nation could ever say we're going to be like it, can be like it. They are privileged, Israel was, to be. And therefore, in verse chapter 4, picking up please in verse 6, keep therefore and do them, or I'll read verse 5 for a little context. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. They shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Verse 7. For what nation is there so great who hath gone so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? For what nation, verse 8, is there so great that has statutes and judgments, so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? So remember that coming out of Egypt, and they have been in the place of learning. Egypt, they've been there 400 years. Learning, 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 learning. Education, pyramids, architecture, mathematics, everything. Wow! But they were given the privilege of knowing God and honoring God and being under God. And that made them way up here to all the world down here, unsaved. And they had a privilege. The republic for which we stand gave us a privilege like no other nation. Do you understand? It gave us that. Why? Because we look to the grace of God. Think of missions. Think of all the things in the hospitals. Think, name them. Hospitals, caring for children. The church, Christianity did that. Not the system did that. Christianity did that. It made all those wonderful things that you have. Now, so we're privileged. And so we shouldn't look down. We're a republic. We aren't trying to be matching the other nations, which is where we're headed, to fit into their system and lose what? The republic and the greatness and privileged position of being a republic. We are becoming a democracy, thus to socialism, communism, Marxism, etc. That's where we're going. Now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, so as we would do up if we did our part, and we have in one sense, as we seek light in a world of darkness, darkness hates light. We seek life in a world of the spiritually dead, don't have a relationship to God. And that's unacceptable, to know God as your personal Savior, to have a personal relationship to God. Who are you to have such a personal relationship to God? That's an offense. So life and liberty and light, and here's liberty. What's liberty? It's a freedom, a wonderful freedom. What? To be free from our old nature, sin, suffering, and sorrow, free to honor God, look to God, trust God. Wow, liberty is unacceptable, as we shared in Sunday school. That what nation do you know on the planet Earth that has liberty as the key? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What nation is there that has that? Just us. Privileged, 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 like no other. There are other countries, God bless them, but we have a special, special privilege. So therefore, light, darkness, life, death, liberty, bondage. Therefore what? That means we're going to find a lot of opposition, war. It's not going to be liked, not going to be loved, not going to be pursued. So the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is there in our wonderful Constitution. Declaration, I should say. But it isn't pursued. People coming across the border, they aren't like the people that came in 1600s, 1700s, or from the Europe to seek God, as it were. They're coming across the border to have the benefits, to have whatever reasons. Now, it's a whole different thing. So the wonderful, wonderful country, republic that we have, is being taken away. How is it being taken away? If you take this away, you don't have a republic. You don't have anything. We got a system, just like the rest of the systems. And we're going to be adapting it, like the Great Reset and all of these things that are out there that we're having to fight against. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so our warfare, our battle, as we are now, we can't go. There's no weapon we can use. There's no thing we can use. The problem is bigger than, greater than us. So we're sort of stuck. We're stuck to what? Look to God. God, is this going to, the truths of this are wonderful. The Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments and that, wonderful, wonderful. But if we don't believe them and we don't practice them, we don't have them. If we don't read the Bible and don't practice it, we don't have it. So here we are looking, God, and we have, so what are we going to do to fight this? We don't, because we're looking to God to outwork His wonderful will. And how can we outwork His will? We are to be privileged, believing believers, enjoying liberty. Liberty, freedom, wonderful, wonderful freedom. Now, having said that, over if you would please, in your Bible, to James, do that first, just so you see it. Remember, if you're reading your Bible, what are they going to read? They're going to read all over the place. Remember, here's the early people. Here's the people in the 1700s. What are they reading? Reading the Bible, going to church in some form and fashion. And as they're doing that, what are they reading? They're all about, how can you read the Bible? The pilgrims, how can you read the Bible without being liberty, 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 to proclaim liberty, liberty. We'll change that for a bit. Go over to Luke and chapter 4. What did our Lord say in the process? And His first message in the synagogue, Isaiah 61, verse 1, He quotes it, chapter 4, verse 18. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised. And you're going to read, if you read Jeremiah, all we're going to read, proclaim liberty. What's the future going to be? In the millennium, proclaim liberty. And they lost the word. They lost the relationship. They didn't enjoy being saved. They didn't enjoy God's creative, wonderful freedom. Oh, freedom, freed from sin, freed from the bondage, free from your old nature, free to be able to look to God comfortably, free to go down the road, the right road in the right way for the right reasons and to come out right. Now, having said that, back over to James. And you would recall, and may I just remind you and myself, James chapter 1, what are you going to tell us, James? I'm going to read chapter 1 for a moment, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, testings, knowing this, that the trying, the testing of your faith worketh patience, testing of God's truth. Verse 4. But let patience, bearing up under the load, have her perfect work. Why? That you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That's freedom. That's freedom. You can't have that except by God, by God's grace. There's no way to a way to be content like that. except God. Now, therefore, chapter 1, what are we going to do to get there? If I can. Verse 21, wherefore lay aside apart all filthiness, superfluity, abounding crookedness of naughtiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted, engraved, implanted word, which is able to save your soul. God wrote the word. Where did he write the word? For Moses, on tablets of stone. The tablets of stone that are in the ark, who wrote them? God did. Who wrote the Bible? They're God's word, and God has given his word in the original languages. God has given it in this wonderful way. God wrote it. It's engrafted. It's engraved. Where? In the heart and mind of God. That's where it is. It's in his book, in his heart. He meant what he said and says what he means. Therefore, receive that word. We're reading it. We're trying to understand it. Verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, but deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror, in a glass. And he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. He forget, as we shared it the other day, you're looking in the mirror, you see yourself. You walk away from the mirror, and you don't see yourself anymore. You don't see yourself. You can't see yourself. As it were, your face. You can't do it. You walked away. So as long as you're looking in the mirror, you keep seeing. Turn, get away from the mirror, you lose it. Therefore, if I can, verse 24. For he behold himself, and he goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But, verse 25, whoso looks, keeps on looking down intently, carefully, looking down, into the perfect law of liberty, God's word, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So what are we doing? We're looking what? Into the perfect law of liberty. The Bible isn't to bind you and send you to hell. The Bible's to save you from hell. The Bible's there to help you not get there. That's a wonderful thing. It's liberty, free. Wow. That's why we read it. That's why they read it. That's why they wrote the Declaration of Independence, to be dependent upon God and no one else, no other nation, no other system, just God in his saving grace. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if I can, go over with me, please, to 2 Corinthians. And you would know, again, reminding us, so there's no question, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Liberty is the key word. That's the key to our country. You don't hear it anymore. We're a republic, to be able to pursue liberty, etc. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, picking up, if I may, verse 14. But their mind, this is the Jews back in the Old Testament, were blinded, until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away, in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. So they're reading the same Bible that you and I can be looking at. We're looking at it, and they could read that same thing, but they don't see God. Why? Because they chose not to know him, and therefore they rejected him. They tried to have the Bible, like Mahatma Gandhi did, you know, and all that. He came to this country, remember, out years ago. Mahatma Gandhi, India, wanted to do the thing for his country, and best thing he could do for his country, being in America, he found, what did he find in America to take back to India? The Bible. He took back the Bible to India, Mahatma Gandhi did. The trouble is, He said, these truths, these wonderful, wonderful, wonderful truths and ideas and thoughts and are wonderful. But he rejected Christ. And without Christ, without God, it's just words. I could take a piece of paper here, and take a piece of paper, right? $1 zillion, and I sign it, and I give it to down here. I give it to down there. No. Wasn't that generous of me? Wasn't it? A, I don't have $1 zillion. B, it's just a piece of paper, and it's only my lousy signature, right? You got nothing. So we can hand all kinds of things out, but we don't have anything. God and his wonderful grace. God and his wonderful grace, they read the Bible but left God out. So therefore, they couldn't cash in. They couldn't cash in the benefits. They couldn't get the benefits. Therefore, they needed to know the Lord as a Savior. Verse 15. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the Old Testament is read, their veil is taken is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it, the heart, shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. So when I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, my heart turns to God. Think of John, Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him. Knock, knock, knock. And he's there to the heart. So if I open my heart, so they wouldn't do that, but they would, and they will. Coming up. Verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. How can you not enjoy the freedom of the Creator and the Savior, the one who saves us, who's our Father, and do wonderful things? Wonderful things. We're dependent upon the Father, the Savior, our Creator. We're dependent upon him. Not independent, fully dependent. We don't want to be independent. We want to be dependent. And therefore, the Spirit of God is going to give us a wonderful enjoyment if we're dependent upon him of what? Liberty, freedom, wonderful, wonderful freedom to exist wonderfully like Adam and Eve in the garden. Had they not sinned, they could have enjoyed an awesome life existence. Christ has made it possible for us to enjoy an awesome life existence. Therefore, verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Verse 18, but we all with open face, nothing between us, straightway, open face, beholding as in a glass, looking in the mirror, not covering our face, wanting to see our whole face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. We're reading God's word. We aren't trying to add anything, subtract anything, or overlook, or don't believe. No, God, we believe. God gave the book. Believe it. Understand it. You'll have to believe and give good. Take your time. Eventually, you'll understand that which you can. Some things you'll never understand. It's too big. If you're talking some big subject and nuclear or something, a fusion or something, whatever you want to do, and you take a big subject like that, mathematics is a huge subject. And mathematics, you can take it, A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, 4, et cetera, multiplication, addition, subtraction, and you go way up here to Laplace transforms and way past that. Wow, way up here. And we're down here. All of this is existent. If you just were in the mindset and wanted to learn math, mathematics is huge. The field of mathematics, awesome. And we're so glad for our little calculator that I can put 2 + 2 = 4, you see. That saves me going to school. Now, so in the light of that, God, you're going to go what? Verse 18, open face, beholding in the glass, the glory of the Lord, he is changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. God is going to keep changing in a most wonderful way, and God's going to give us a change. And we're going to do that to enjoy God's wonderful thing. Now, what happened? Now, why can't we do that? What happens? Well, because what did Israel do to lose its position? 1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8. And you'd recall, I'm asking myself, why can't we pursue? Why is our country not pursuing being a republic? We're becoming everything but a republic. 1 Samuel chapter 8, you remember the judges, Joshua, and then the judges, and the last judge is Samuel, and he's a good judge. All the judges were. Now, sliding chapter 8, the people are tired of being under bondage. They're having to have the judge tell them what's right, to tell them when they're wrong, and to have to answer to anybody, everyone doing that which is right in their own eyes. Boy, it just isn't comfortable to have this, to have judges. So therefore, what are we going to do? We don't want to have to be bound to this Constitution, this Declaration. We don't want to say, I swear to uphold the Constitution and Declaration of the United States of America. But I don't mean, don't even know it, never read it, and don't care. That's what people do. Now, here's 1 Samuel chapter 8. What did the Jewish people do? They didn't want to be under that liberty, under that bondage to God, to be dependent upon God. Therefore, verse 4, when the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. That's what we want. We want to be like what? The tower in the city, think of Sunday school, and all the nations. We want to be like the rest of them. The rest of the nations don't want us to be like liberty. They don't want us to be. They want us to be like them. And so therefore, we are accommodating them right now in our history, personal history. We're becoming like them. We're losing our specialness. Now, so here's Israel. Israel wanted to not be special. They don't want to be special. They want to be like everybody else, to fit in. Therefore, verse 6, but the thing displeased the Lord Samuel, and when they had said, give us a king to judge us, and Samuel prayed, and give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people, listen to them in all that they say unto thee. For reason, they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. They don't want me to be the one benefactoring, giving them the benefits. They don't want me to be the benefactor. They don't want me to be the giver. They don't want to enjoy the freedom and the liberty that I've given them of being a special people. Special people have special privileges with God, to exercise a wonderful relationship to God, like in a mirror, to be changed to his image. Now, to glory God, to glorify God. They didn't want that. They didn't want that. So now, sliding along, what are they going to do? Well, when you do that, you're going to become like the nations. Therefore, chapter 8, verse 17. What's going to happen when you want to be like the nations? Like the system, towers and cities and stuff. And he will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, you're going to have to keep living under the system you wanted. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us. What do you want the king for? That we may also, verse 20, that we may also be like all the nations, and that our king can judge us. He'll make the rules and regulations for us and go out before us and fight our battles so we don't have to be responsible. I want to be in a place that I don't have to do anything. I want to be governed. That's what our country's. playing that game more and more and more. We're dependent, governing, control. That's what the system's doing. So we lose what? Our independence. And in that losing it, we can't enjoy God because they don't want you to enjoy God. They don't want you to grow and know. They just don't want that to happen. So now, having said that, over, if you would please, to Romans. Romans in chapter 6. And may I just remind you, as if from your relationship to God, His liberty, and here we are. And it's not easy to come by to understand it because people don't do it. Our Congress doesn't do it. They don't do what they should do, the way they should do it. So therefore, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to try to understand what we should do, because regardless of what anyone, God is able to find an Zacchaeus in the middle of the town. God is able to find anything, anybody, anywhere. He's looking down to find a heart that will seek Him. If you seek God with all your heart, you'll find Him. So, God, I want to be able to enjoy being a U.S. citizen, being in the United States of America. I want to enjoy not being in the United States so much as the liberty. I want to enjoy the liberty as pursued, as made known in the Declaration of Independence and Constitution. I want life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. I want to be able to enjoy God, what they were after. What were they after? They were after me to understand this so that I can understand God's Word. This gets me to God's Word. Some other system doesn't let me get there. That one gets me there. Now, having said that, putting it a little exercise in our little word liberty and freedom. Or if I can, in chapter 6. And you know Christ died on the cross. When He died on the cross, He took you to the cross, took you to the grave, and rose again. And that's how you can get saved. Christ died for you. He didn't die for Himself. He died for you. He took your place. Genesis 2:17, the day you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, surely you're going to die. And God said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. God, you have given us a wonderful privilege of being able to know you. And therefore, as you slide along in verse 4, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into His death, identification with Him in His death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we surely shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. We have a brand new relationship. We need to exercise it. Verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. You have a wonderful, wonderful exercise. You get saved. For what? To enjoy liberty. Freedom. Freedom. You've got an old nature. All of us do. Word, thought, and deed. It doesn't go away till the Lord comes and takes us home. So we got to live with this. But wouldn't it be good to have some freedom, some liberty, some way to be able to move in the middle of time and all of the restrictions and all things that are happening? Isn't it good to be able to have something? Freedom. Now, having said that, freedom. Sliding over, if I can, to verse 18. 6 and 18. When you get saved, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity, the failure, the weakness of your flesh. For, as you have yielded your members, eyes, ears, nose, throat, servants, to uncleanness and to iniquity, lawlessness, unto iniquity, iniquity unto iniquity. Even so now yield your members, servants of to righteousness, unto holiness. Verse 20, for when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. You don't want to be free, a slave. I can't do the right thing because I'm not free. I need to be able to be saved so I can do the right thing. Therefore, having said that, keeping that in mind, chapter 7. I want to be free. Okay? So Paul goes through the exercise as a believer. He tells you what you have to go through and what is involved. And you have to understand, you got an old nature that's never going to be a good one. Verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, 7 and 18. No good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do, but the evil which I would not, that I do. In other words, I'm doing the very opposite. Verse 20, for if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I'm a slave, bondage. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God, I want to and be free. But the inward man, after the inward man, God saved me, saved us. Verse 23, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my member. In other words, God, if I don't trust you, if I don't go and be dependent upon you, how am I going to be free? I can't be independent of God and be free. I'm going to have to be dependent upon God and be free. Therefore, in the light of that, verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? In other words, there's no way I'm going to come out and enjoy the liberty and the freedom that is intended by God for the believing heart. I'm not going to enjoy it. I can't do it. O wretched man that I am. But I thank God, verse 25, through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then also, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, with the flesh, the law of sin. I got an old nature that wants to do what it does, but I'm going to look to God in his saving grace. I receive Christ as my Savior. I'm going to go and look to him who has set me free. Christ is the one who set me free. Who set me free? Christ did. How did Christ set me free? He died on the cross. He took me to the cross. He took me to the grave. He rose again. He's seated at the right hand of God. He set me free. That's what he did. Now, how am I going to enjoy it? I'm not going to trust myself. That's what it says. I know my old nature will never do that. But the reason I'm going to be so successful is because the Lord Jesus Christ, God, is my personal Savior. I am dependent upon him to save me, keep me, love me, do everything he has to do to get me into his forever in the right way. God, I have to trust you, dependent. Therefore, chapter 8, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law, we just mentioned it, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free, there's your little word, free liberty from the law of sin and death. Now, God, all I had to do is trust you with all my heart. That's what I had to do, and you would honor me. Wow. So now, God, help us. Here we are looking to you, and you're going to have to go and deal with us. So we need to trust you with all our heart and look to you. So Paul, what did you do, Paul? You're under death. How did you make it, Paul? 2 Timothy. How did Paul make it? How are we going to make it? How is our country going to make it? Back to God. But you aren't going to get back to God because we don't want to get back to God. We want to be like the other nations. We want to be like other people. We don't want to have to be different. And you do. If you're saved, do you enjoy being special to God? I said, all right, do you enjoy being special to God? Above all the people, here's all the people on your street, in your family, maybe saved, unsaved, I don't know. Are you special to God? Do you enjoy that? My father. Father, you have to be saved to say that. Father. Now, need to be special. So, Timothy, in closing, picking up, hope you got a little bit in the wandering. Just understand what we have, life, liberty. It's all about liberty and the republic to which we stand, one nation under God. One nation under God, resting on God. That's where we are. We pledge allegiance, the flag, whatever. Doesn't mean anything. It ought to mean something. We just read the Bible. If all those words are just words, they don't mean anything to you either, do they? All those words are all gone. We just read them. Wonderful words. The truth will set you free. And it don't mean a thing. Right? Don't mean anything. Gonna go out the door? Don't mean anything. See? This doesn't mean anything if you don't know it. Don't practice it. People don't want to practice it. We say you can't practice it. Well, you may not be able to do this very good in the present conditions of our country. But the book you can do in the presence of God, that you can do. God's right here. We're right in his presence to do so. Now, verse 12, chapter 1. For which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, resting in the finished work of Christ, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed, deposited, like in the bank, deposited unto him against that day, and again for the umpteenth time, to keep your soul, your substance, your society, and everything, the whole thing. God, who's going to get me through this in this package? You are. Thank you. And that's how Paul died, knowing God took him all the way into his presence. God, here we are looking. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The republic for which we stand. The 4th of July. Wow. John Adams said, remember back way back, he said, celebrate it with cannon fireworks and everything. That was before we used to celebrate it. Anyway, hope you got a little bit. It's an awesome thing to be an American. To be saved is more awesome. Our Father and God, as we look to you, help us in every way. Thank you.